Justin McCulley is definitely the kind of fighter we love at Jari Park, a man that has dabbled in the world of pro wrestling and now making a name for himself in the world of mixed martial arts, more specifically in the UFC. Justin, thanks so much for joining us and coming to the park to talk a bit about your career and everything that's going down in the life of Mr. Justin McCulley.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me. It's always good to be in the park.
So, you know, we heard some rumors that fans were going to get to see you, you know, back in the octagon in 08 at UFC 81. There were some discussions that you were possibly going to be fighting Czech Congo. It appears as though that fight is not happening. First off, let's talk about the actual rumor itself. Were you ever offered a fight against Czech Congo?
Yeah, I was offered the fight. It was it came through my agent, Ken Pavia. And it just came at a really bad time. We actually said yes to the fight. We hesitated and delayed on our answer. And by the time we got back to Joe Silva, he had already given the fight over to Heath Herring.
So,
I guess it just wasn't meant to be. I'm still, you know, getting over a little something. As everybody knows, I missed my fight with Christian Welsh in September at UFC 76. I had broken my foot, and I had affected my elbow a little bit. I have some bone chips and bone spurs, so I have to have an ortho surgery just to get some bone chips and bone spurs out of there, and then I'll be back on the road to UFC heavyweight stardom, baby.
When Joe Silva offered you that fight, did he give you a time frame that he wanted you to get back to him as to whether or not you were going to take it or not?
There was no deadline ever set, but anytime you don't accept the fight right away, there's always a chance that it could be taken from you. And I knew that making my decision, I knew it sitting back for a couple of seconds could possibly endanger the booking. And I just needed to take the time. I needed to talk with my family. It was the holiday. It was just a strange time for the booking to come for me. So
what were you mulling over? What were the pros and cons of taking that fight in your mind?
Well, the pros are always getting to compete in the UFC, getting to show your spirit, getting to be a part of one of the bigger shows in the world. That fight, I believe, is the same night Brock Lesnar is going to make his debut. It's going to be a very, very highly watched fight, highly viewed fight. I wanted to be a part of the show. But at this point right now, I'm probably about 85 to 90% of myself. My elbows, it's ailing me, and so I'm going to have to get it taken care of before I get back in. And I wouldn't want to go into a fight with a man as good as Czech Congo and not give my best. I would have probably hated myself for the rest of my life if I went in there and I did something I regretted. So I'm just taking it step by step. You know, it took 10 years to get to the big dance, to get to the UFC, and I don't want to make any mistakes now that I'm here. So I'm going to get fixed, I'm going to get back out there.
The way everything went down in terms of missing the deadline and everything, were you afraid of possibly ruining the relationship that you had with the UFC?
Well, in a way, yes, because it's it's not very often that you get an opportunity, like even to fight in the UFC, let alone a 3-fight deal with the UFC, or them giving you good fights on big cards. And I feel blessed to have the opportunities that Joe Silva gave to me. I know they're going to come back. I know my fans believe in me. I know I believe in myself, and I know he'll be better off if he does give me another shot, because I'm something that the fans are going to want to see, that's for sure.
Czech Congo was a guy who was just coming off a victory over Mirko Krokop. This would have been a huge matchup since he was on this roll right now. And a lot of people still feel that the jury is out on Czech, that we haven't really seen his complete package. This, for a guy such as yourself, this would have been a perfect opportunity, it would seem, to kind of make your name in the UFC. Are you still interested at some point, maybe after the Herring fight? Have they talked to you about a possible fight if he does defeat Herring against Congo?
You know, I would love to call winner in that fight. You know, if I come off my surgery, everything comes off golden, maybe I'll be back to action by May. And, yeah, I'd absolutely love to take the winner of Czech Congo, Heath Herring. I think they're both great athletes, great fighters. It would be a pleasure and an honor to do battle with them and test my skill against them. I think my like you think, and everybody else who looks at the matchup on paper, Justin McCulley, 8 to 9 times out of 10, beats Czech Congo just because I have better ground than he does. You know, Czech's He's an amazingly strong guy. He's shown a great ability to stand up when people have taken him down, but he's never had a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt like myself, taking him down, sitting on him, elbowing him in the face, making him pay, making him make mistakes, making him tired, laying on him. And the only guys who grappled him have beaten him. And he's got great wins. I mean, he beat Gilbert Avell. He beat Mirko Krokop. So is he dangerous? Am I wary of him? Do I respect him? Absolutely, 100%. I think he's a great fighter. I think he's dangerous, but I just think I'm too much for him, and I hope I get the chance down the road to show that.
You mentioned that you feel that as though right now you are 80 to 90% healed. That said, you know, you always want to go into a fight at 100% if you can. That said, why did you say yes to the fight if you felt that you weren't 100% healed?
Well, it you know, it comes down to the almighty dollar in the long run. My last booking was in UFC in April, and you know, I've been off since then. So it would have been nice to get back out there, generate some income, and take a shot. You know, they have these big bonuses out there now: knockout bonuses, submission bonuses, fight of the night bonus. And I think even at 85-90%, I'm still good enough to take Chuck into one of those fights where I either submit him. Perhaps one of us knocks each other out, or we give the crowd an amazing fight, and everybody's on their feet at the end of it, and we get a bonus somewhere. So it was a monetary decision, and I decided to take a chance to go for it, to show my heart, lay it out on the line. And you know, Dana White and Joe Silva have said in the past that they don't mind a loss. You know, if you're willing to show up and fight for us and with us, then we're going to take care of you in the long run. And I wanted to display that kind of attitude. I wanted to let them know that I was a company player and that I'm here to go to battle. Even if I'm sacrificing a little bit for myself, I'm a company man, I'm a company player, and I'm there to fill the card if they need me to.
All right, so right now you're shooting for a possible May return to the Octagon?
Absolutely, 100%.
And when you look at the kind of landscape in the heavyweight division, obviously we have the Randy Couture situation, which is very much up in the air. Nogueira against Silva at that UFC 81 card. Where would you kind of slot yourself? A 100% healed Justin McCulley, where would you kind of slot yourself in those, you know, fictitious rankings that we all love to discuss?
I think I sit up there, you know, with everybody. I think everybody's got a chance. It's a wide open market right now. Anybody's got a shot. It's going to come down to getting lucky in a couple fights here, and whoever gets, you know, the right booking, the right draw, and whoever the stars line up for is in there, and they could be heavyweight champion within two or three or four fights. And I put myself in that category. I don't think anybody out there is a shoe-in for the belt right now. You know, Nogueira, Silva, they're gonna go for it. That's old news. You know, those guys have been champions. They've been on top, and nobody really cares about those guys anymore. They want to see the new blood. They want to see guys like Justin McCulley come in there and shake things up, and that's what I plan on doing.
You know, you mentioned Brock Lesnar, who's also going to be making his debut at UFC 81, and you probably better than anyone could kind of comment on his, you know, initial foray to the world of mixed martial arts because you have that wrestling background. Do you believe that he will, in fact, be the real deal? And would love to know your thoughts on pairing him up with a guy like Frank Mir, a seasoned veteran, a former champion in his own right, and right off the bat they're throwing him into the fire.
You know, that is jumping from the frying pan right into the fire. The pro wrestling experience, I mean, that's going to help him immensely with getting in front of the crowd, in front of the cameras, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's a work, you know, it's set up. We have a predetermined winner in professional wrestling. We know where we're going. And but again, he's a college wrestler. He's a champion over and over again. He's been there. He's done it. But to do it in the UFC, to do it at that level, to stand up in front of those crowds, in front of those lights, and know that a man's going to punch you in the face as hard as he can, or he's going to try to rip your arm from your body or your leg from your body, it eats at a man. And in the hype of the UFC alone, we know about the Octagon Shock and all that other kind of stuff. It's all going to play a part. I personally am picking Frank Mir to submit Brock Lesnar that night. If Brock Lesnar beats him up, I'm totally wrong. I retract everything I've ever said about wrestlers making the transition, and especially old wrestlers making the transition into professional wrestling. Guys fresh out of college, they're young, they're hungry, they're hot. The guys who have had professional wrestling careers, they've been run over by a truck about 1,000 times, and it's not their fault. It's just the schedule, and it's the grueling demands of the business. So I think that might have something to do with that fight that night. I could be wrong, but I like Frank Mir in the fight.
You bring up a really interesting point because just a few weeks ago you were on a panel with Kurt Angle on Inside MMA, and you know, before we talk about that, awesome job on that show. I mean, you came in with notes, you were all prepared. You're probably one of the best panel guests that they've had on the short history of that show. So, you know, big ups to you for that. But you were,
thank you so much.
You were with Kurt, and you know, he's talked about going into MMA. Obviously now he's pushing 40. He's had the surgeries. He was in the Olympics. I mean, the guy has been in the ring for a long time now. Do you actually believe that Kurt has any interest in trying his hand in the world of mixed martial arts?
You know, I believe he does. I think Kurt is a fabulous athlete. He's a decorated champion in wrestling. He's an American champion, Olympian, and I think he deserves every bit of respect for that. But I don't know if his day is past him yet, you know, and we'll see with the, you know, if he can get a fight, if he can get a booking. But I think what's going on here is a lot of these athletes are trying to come over and do a big crossover promotion and, you know, get paid and see if they could have been. And it's dangerous for themselves and for the sport. We could turn into a circus act. We can kind of get away from where we're going. I don't know that it's the best thing for the sport to let all these old athletes come crossover from these other sports and test their will in our arena. I don't know. You know, I don't know if Kurt can do it. I hope he does. I like Kurt as a man. I think he's a great guy. I think he's got a lot of charisma. He can do a lot of things for the sport, perhaps like Oscar De La Hoya did with boxing, you know, with his Olympic popularity. But being 40 years old, having, you know, the truck run over you, the proverbial professional wrestling truck run over you that many times, I don't know that he can do it anymore. But, again, my heart and my mind's with him. I hope he can. I like Kurt.
What about being on that show? It seemed as though you were kind of positioning yourself for a life after MMA. You know, with your analysis and whatnot, probably one of the more well-spoken guests. Well-spoken guys in MMA in general. I mean, usually we'll sometimes get one-word answers and whatnot. Did you enjoy the experience of being in front of the cameras and in that type of environment?
I absolutely did. I love being in front of the cameras. I love being in the environment. Kenny Rice and Boss Rutten were absolutely fabulous to work with. Loretta Hunt and Kurt Angle, you know, we all brought up valid points. We fed off each other well, and it was a pleasure. All the staff at HDNet, they were great. The producers there were all fabulous. And I absolutely would love to get into that arena down the road. I think, you know, beyond being a fighter and a competitor in this sport, I've always, you know, prided myself on being a visionary and where we're going with this. And, you know, I predicted back in 1997 on an interview on Fox, when we were having one of our shows at Saddleback College Extreme Shoot, that we were going to surpass, that MMA would surpass boxing and pay-per-view sales in about 10 years. And here we are, you know, and I would love to be able to voice my opinions and give my color commentary and my insight on MMA, because I've been in this sport since I was, you know, just a young man at 19 years old. I started, and I'd really love to stay with it the whole, you know, throughout the evolution of the sport, because it's going great places, and it's only going to go more mainstream. And to get on one of those color commentary jobs is, I think, the future for some of us, and I would hope that, you know, I would fall into that category.
Now, a lot of UFC fans might just be hearing about you from you know, your debut in April, but you've been at this a long time, fighting since 1997, and pro wrestling fans will know you as well. It's kind of interesting, because you don't hear so much about, at least in North America, guys going from pro wrestling to MMA. You hear about that a lot more over in Japan. For those that don't know, what is your pro wrestling background? Where have you wrestled, and you know, how did you rise up in that industry?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was teaching jiu-jitsu at one of our gyms called Extreme University, and a guy by the name of Tom Howard came into the gym and wanted to roll some he had rolled sambo before, and so he wanted to learn some jiu-jitsu, and I was teaching him some jiu-jitsu, and he had said that he was a professional wrestler, and I was always an avid fan. I mean, my brother was a kung fu theater guy. I was a professional wrestling guy. On Saturday mornings, I woke up early, tried to find, you know, whatever professional wrestling league that was on TV, and I watched every one of them. And I was the most avid fan, and I would get in fights with my brother and my father, and you know, on the reality base of it, because I believed every minute of it. And so when Tom told me he was a professional wrestler, I was so excited. I said, well, you know, I'll teach you some jiu-jitsu. I'd like to learn some professional wrestling just to learn it. I didn't have any aspects of competing or doing anything like that. And a guy by the name of Rick Bassman brought in Marco Huas, Mark Kerr, Mark Coleman, Don Fry, Ken Shamrock, Tommy Gainesville, John Lewis, myself, and a bunch of MMA guys who had some talent and some charisma, and he wanted to book us all and do like this big takeover thing with one of the companies, WWE or WWF at the time, or NWA or WCW or whoever it was going to be. And Rick decided to start a promotion in our gym, and I said, well, let me get on the card. I'll do a couple of small matches and, see how it goes. And became tag team champions, five-time tag team champions, went on to get a developmental deal at WWE, which I turned down to go work with ECW. ECW then got bought up by WWE. I decided then to go try my hand at professional wrestling over in Japan. Started working for a league called UFO with Mr. Antonio Inoki and Simon Inoki, a very successful league. And then went on to New Japan Pro Wrestling, which was Antonio Inoki's child. It was his, the first pro wrestling company that he started, and it ran for 35 years over there in Japan. And I was lucky enough to be a part of that and wrestle all the legends over there. And that was about it. I finished my professional wrestling career off to date over at a league called 01 for a man named Nakamura. And it was just an amazing time. In 05, I decided that was probably going to be the last little bit of pro wrestling for Justin McCauley. I was going to try my hand in mixed martial arts one more time and see how far I could take it. And it's been going good so far. The comeback's been strong, so we're just going to keep it going.
When you look back on the decision to turn down the developmental deal in the WWE to go to ECW, do you have any regrets on that decision?
The decisions we make become our life, and it would have been a different life had I decided to go with the developmental deal. And a lot of people say, hey, you probably should have taken it. You would have been a lot further, a lot farther now, but it wasn't my path. It wasn't my destiny. So, there was days where I was in tears over giving it up and going to ECW when the acquisition happened and I was left without a job and soul searching, I was thinking to myself, geez, you made a huge mistake. But I got to meet some awesome connections in Japan. I got to wrestle some legends over there. I got to travel places I wouldn't have normally traveled on my own. So it works out, the grass is always greener, but I wouldn't trade anything in my career. I've had an amazing career. I've met some of the very best professional wrestlers and the very best MMA guys. I've gotten to have matches with them and train. It's a dream come true in my career. And going from somebody who had no aspirations of doing anything like this to, making a 10-year career, almost 11-year career out of it now is something else. So I'm just happy. I couldn't say that I regret any step of the way.
Did you ever actually get to wrestle a match in ECW, or was the company did the company dissolve before you had the chance?
It dissolved. We're working out the program. I was actually I had the guy, we're gonna wrestle, everything all set up, and company went broke. They couldn't pay anybody, and part of the reason why I didn't have a match is because Paul couldn't put anybody else on the card. He didn't have any money, and I was kind of wondering, what's going on here? I'm flying back to Philly every week to wrestle, but we're never wrestling. And some of the other wrestlers weren't getting paid at the time, so I understood why he didn't put me on the card. He didn't want to put me on the card, not be able to pay me, and I respect him for that. And Paul Heyman, he's a good guy, straight up dude, never did me wrong, so I can't fault him for that. And, I can't fault him for wanting me to come there, telling me to come there and not sign the WWE contract either, because he wanted me. I was a young, charismatic kid, good-looking, ready to go, probably going to book some seats and make him some money. So I can't blame him for jockeying for me, but it was just a shame it didn't work out.
Who was the program supposed to be with? Do you remember?
I want to say it was Michael Shane.
Okay.
It was a young kid out of Texas, out of Shawn Michaels' school, and we were supposed to run a program together. But it never worked out. So it would have been great.
A lot of people know that Vince McMahon was kind of helping out Paul Heyman in the dying days of ECW. So the fact that you turned down the deal with WWE and then the company dissolves, did you ever try to get back in their good graces and try to get that deal back?
Actually, I went down and did a developmental tryout in Atlanta with Bill DeMott, who wrestled under the name Hugh Morris. And that guy, I'll tell you, he was absolutely 100% the worst guy I could have ever gone and done a tryout with. We didn't click from the get-go. We were butting heads from the second I walked in the door, and I just really didn't want to be there. I had a bad time. I had a bad showing, and you know, that was that for me. I decided that, you know, for the next couple of years, it's going to be MMA, and then after that, maybe I'll try to transition back into pro wrestling. But you can ask anybody in the business that went down to Atlanta that had a tryout down there. You know, Bill was famous for burying anybody that wasn't his guy and trying to make him look bad, and then building up his dudes, which ended up backfiring on him anyway. So, you know,
Absolutely. But
the company giving me the shot was awesome. I thank Tommy Dreamer for sending me down there, John Laurinaitis for sending me down there, Rob Van Dam for helping me out, getting me the look. Those guys are really cool, and I appreciate them giving me the look.
In MMA locker rooms, due to your pro wrestling background, do you ever get any heat from guys? You know, the worlds are very similar, but at times very different. Do any guys ever kind of look down on you because of your background in pro wrestling?
You know, you get more heat in a pro wrestling locker room for being an MMA guy than you do in an MMA arena for being a pro wrestler. In MMA, you know, everybody's a tough guy. Everybody's got a chip on their shoulder, sort of. You know, like, everybody's cool to each other, but everybody still thinks they're the toughest guy in the room. You know what I mean? So as cool as you can be, still thinking you're the toughest guy in the room. That's how an MMA locker room is. But you go into a pro wrestling locker room, and it's politics. You know, there's a hierarchy there. There's people that, you know, have been there for 15 years, and they paid their dues. You know, you go into a pro wrestling locker room, and you talk about paying dues. It's all about paying dues. And it's just a different formula to get to the top. In MMA, if you're tough, you can get there. In pro wrestling, it doesn't matter if you're tough. It just matters if you work good and if the people like you and you're not rocking the boat and everything's cool and you're selling tickets, you know. So it's a kind of a different feeling, but I got more heat being an MMA guy in a pro wrestling locker room than I ever got in an MMA locker room being a pro wrestling guy.
Very interesting. All right, Justin, before we let you go, you say you're going to be back in the octagon, hopefully by around May, something for your fans to look out for. If there's one guy out there that you are dying to get in there for your first bout with, is there one particular name that comes to mind that you'd love to test your strengths against?
You know, like I said before, I'll take winner of Herring Congo. I'd love to see myself in there with Nogueira. I think he's great. He's a legend. I'd just love to test my skill against him. It would just be an honor to be in there with him and again test my skill with somebody like Nogueira. He's proven to be, you know, the top three over the last decade in the heavyweight division, and so it'd be cool to fight him.
Awesome. Something to look forward to. Justin, thanks so much for joining us. It was great talking a little wrestling, a little MMA with you, and definitely feel free to come back anytime. And above all, best of luck and, you know, get well soon.
Right on, Ariel. Thanks so much. Right on. I'll see you in the park, baby.